Hi there, it's Nikki. I wanted to take a quick minute to make sure you knew about our free on-demand copywriting training. Whether you're brand new to copywriting or you just can't seem to hit your income goals, this training is for you. You'll learn the three secrets to landing freelance copywriting work without wasting time on frustrating job bidding sites like Upwork and Fiverr or cold calling strangers. And if you've listened to any of the student stories on this podcast, this is the exact same training they all got started with. I'm talking about KK, who's making six figures working part-time and who just retired her husband to help her run the business. Stuart, who replaced his full-time salary with freelance copywriting work and then some. Stacy, who hit six figures in 6 months, her very first year as a full-time freelancer. Ashley, who landed the in-house copywriting job of her dreams. They all started with this free training, and you can get started with that same training too. Sign up right now at freecopywritingtraining.com.
Hey, this is Jennifer from Dallas, and I just got an email from my first client saying that she loves what I wrote for her business. And now, enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Build Your Copywriting Business Podcast. My name is Nikki Krawczyk, and I've been a copywriter for more than 15 years. The Filthy Rich Writer team and I are here to give you the tips, tools, and training to help you craft a successful copywriting career of your own. To us, being filthy rich means having a job you love, being good at what you do, and making great money doing it. Let's dig in. Yay! That's awesome. Congratulations, Jen.
So excited for you. We were just watching the video and thinking, look how confident she looks, even just from the last laser coaching, which wasn't that long ago. So very, very thrilled for you. Very excited.
So awesome. So welcome back, everybody. Hey there, Kate.
Hello.
Welcome to this episode of the Build Your Copywriting Business Podcast. Today, we're going to talk systems. And wait, before you go, oh, systems, it doesn't sound like any fun. Not only are the systems we're going to talk about today, maybe not fun, but boy, are they going to make your life easier. They will make you more productive and they will make you more professional, or at least I should say they will heighten your professionalism, all of which are essential as you build your business.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that kind of brought this topic up for us was the fact that our clients are going to be constantly coming at us with little requests or little asks or that kind of thing. Sometimes it's, oh, to fill out a what is it, Kate? I always get it wrong. W-9, W-2, W-9, right?
That's W-9 for a tech, for if you're a freelancer. Yep.
Yes. Or, hey, we're looking for another word here. Or, hey, can you get on a call? Or, hey, a million little requests. And obviously, you will have thought these through and you will build them into your rate. But at the same time, those million little requests can be a little bit difficult to stay on top of when you have multiple clients and a lot of stuff coming into your inbox or coming in via Slack, if that's something your clients use, or any of those
by your phone when you're on the calls. Hey, can you send this little thing through? And yeah, there's just so many different technology platforms too. And I know for me, some of my freelance clients give me email addresses and some of them can do email forwarding, but then suddenly you're managing, you know, at one point I think I had 8 different emails from various, scaled that down. But anyway, lots of places for notes and where was that and who do I need to respond to and when do I need to respond by? Mm-hmm. It can get very easy for things to get lost.
Exactly. And the problem is that when you have, well, not the problem, but one of the big problems, we have all these requests coming in. It is easy for things to get lost. And even if they're little things like, oh, fill out this W-9 or, oh, we were looking for a new word for this or whatever. Even if they're little things, every time that you miss something, you're letting your client down and you are making your client question whether or not you are the right person to partner with. Mm-hmm. You know, if your client is paying the bills and if they ask for something, you need to get it to them without them having to follow up with you or without them having to track you down. Because we talk in other podcasts about how when you're working with a client, you're taking that work off of their plate. You're taking that mm-hmm. copywriting work off their plate. That's one less thing for them to think about. Awesome. But when they have to follow up with you to get little stuff from you, it's putting that work
back on their plate. And that's the last thing you want to do to a client.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the big things that can get lost too is if they ask, for example, 3 questions in an email and you send back answers to 2 out of the 3, it can be really frustrating for the client. It might be a very easy, small thing, but that thorn in their side is very memorable. And we don't want to be remembered that way. We want to be remembered for bam, 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 being on top of everything that we need to be on top of, including these little details that might seem inconsequential, but are important to our clients and important to them not having, to Nikki's point, to spend more time managing the project. They don't want to have to manage, you know, they want to come in, review your work and get out. So one of the tips too, I would say to start with for emails, for example, that come with question marks, you see a bunch of question marks from your client. When you start to organize your reply, I often take their email out so I can draft, I'm drafting right in the email so it doesn't mistake send. You know, there's some shortcut on in Gmail that I've hit way too many times. No, there, it just went off and my sentence wasn't complete. So I take their address out until I'm ready to send it, even, you know, within that reply. But copying and pasting what they sent into the body of my email and then breaking it out on lines and numbering each question, potentially repeating the question, not always, but then answering each of their questions so that it's very organized for me. So I know that I'm not, scroll back down to their reply. What was I missing? Nope. I'm going to copy their whole thing, replace everything I need and make sure I get them the answers, read it through, put their email back in and then shoot it off. Because as we were talking about before the call, it's so easy to just shoot off an email. Mm-hmm. And not think it through. Mm-hmm.
I love that too, because it makes it easier for you, but it also makes it easier for the client. Like yes. They don't have to dig through paragraphs to find one of your answers. They don't have to, it's very easy for them to just like, what was that question? What did Kate say about this? Oh, boom, here's what she said right here. Mm-hmm. And it's when you break it apart, when you take that extra step, which at first might be like, oh, whoa, I'm adding more work. Well, first of all, it's like, you know, an extra 2 minutes. But it forces you to slow down. Yes. 'Cause as Kate and I have talked about when you're freelance or, you know, when you're doing work for a client, you want to like get stuff done. You want to cross stuff off your list as quickly as you can and get stuff done. The problem is that when you're replying to emails, it's really easy to only scroll down to a certain point, answer those questions and send it off and miss a whole section of a question or answer something and forget that there was another part of it. And that just, it's gets back to that whole, your client then has to chase you down. It looks like you are a little scattered. It looks like you are a little bit unprofessional. Then by the way, too, this is not good for you because then you have another email coming back in from your client when they're chasing you down. That's one more thing to put right back on your to-do list. So your system, Kate, is really great because it, like, just as a whole, slow down.
That is the key takeaway. If you get nothing else from this,
yes,
slow down.
When you are replying to your clients, when you're interacting with your clients, slow down. And because often too, you know, like, oh, they sent me an email. I have to get back to them right away. Okay. They don't need it. They don't need an immediate answer. I know sometimes freelance will be like, well, I get my email on my phone and they sent me this question. They sent it to me. So I want to send something back right away. They probably don't need an immediate answer. They will let you know if they need an immediate answer, but trying to communicate with your clients on your phone because you're trying to be fast can add a whole nother layer of complications because again, if you think it's hard to look at all their questions on a bigger screen, imagine trying to do that on your phone and get it all covered. So take it slow down, wait till you get back to your desk. And then once you're at your desk, use Kate's system to make sure that you are addressing all of their concerns and you're addressing them thoroughly and you're addressing them in a really ordered way. It's going to make your client's life so much easier and going to make your life so much easier. And then too, you've got that in your outbox or your send box so that if they come back and they're like, da, 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 you can refer to what you said before. You can say, what did I tell them? Oh, let me go back and take a look. It just makes life so much easier.
Yeah, it's the whole measure twice, cut once idea. Mm-hmm. You know, by slowing down, you're actually saving yourself time in the long run and making yourself look a lot better to your client.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then too, I think there's that we can go back to our theme of slowing down, which I know seems so wrong to freelancers. We're like, we want to churn through as much as possible.
Gotta get done.
But when you slow down strategically, you get so much more done so much more effectively. This idea too of like, well, I'm going to stop whatever I'm doing and answer my clients' questions whenever they come in. You're going to drive yourself crazy.
Yeah, I don't always, everything I do is I do my best to do it if you heard our habits podcast, you know, we try, but checking email twice a day. So around 10 in the morning. So anything from the day before I can really answer, get people going that they need. And then 3-4 o'clock in the evening. So anything that needs to be followed up by end of day or get me set up for the next day. But really more than that, it eats into your own time and your own productivity, because stopping and starting, as you can look up studies on, I'm sure that they've done them, of how much that slows you down actually, mm-hmm. and doesn't make you more productive in any way, because your brain switches gears and then it has to get back into whatever you were doing. So batching tasks like emails or, you know, other admin tasks, saying, okay, Friday from 9 to 10 is my admin time or my invoice time, or, you know, being specific about what your time is being used for, because as we always say, schedule it out, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, and two, if you are checking your email and you're not dealing with the stuff in your inbox, so if you're checking your email throughout the day and you're like, ooh, I have to do that later, I'm going to throw that little flag on there, and that flag will mean that I'm going to deal with it later. But I can personally tell you, as a flag user, I flag stuff and other stuff comes in and those flags go to the bottom of my inbox. Just because you're telling yourself, oh, I'm going to deal with that. Then you lose that focus. You risk losing whatever task that was to the bottom of your inbox. And then also you have the mental load of knowing that there's an uncompleted task. I think it's, who's the author of Getting Things Done? Do you remember, Kate?
No, I don't.
We'll have to look it up and put it in the show notes. It's a classic, but he talks about the fact that your brain is not meant to, hold all of these little pieces of information. And so every time you do this, it wants closed loops. And so every time you're like, oh, I have to do that. It opens something up, not opens something up, but it represents little open loops in your brain. And your brain is like trying to remember those and then also trying to complete those. That's one of the reasons why we feel so compelled to complete the little tasks. Cause then it's like, I did that. So even if you are not dealing with stuff, make sure that you have a repository for your admin time. Like Kate said, if you're checking your email from 10 to 11 and then maybe from 3 to 4, that's awesome. If you're not able to work on stuff at that moment, then maybe you have a separate inbox for your or like a subfolder in your inbox for like admin tasks. Like, I need to do this during my admin time tomorrow, or I need to do this during my admin time today. And then when that admin time comes up, you just go to that subfolder and you go down the list and you do each of those items.
Yeah. Organization of your inbox in particular and having those folders is so, so important, but also revisiting those folders down the line. I actually just noticed that yesterday. I had a folder in my inbox and I was like, oh, what's this? And at the time I thought it had made sense to create this label and there were two emails in it that I didn't actually need. And so I deleted that folder and then thought, oh, let me look at all these other folders and make sure they're the right label so that I know what the heck it is. Do I need this anymore? Can I combine certain ones together? And just refining your process as you go along and learn what works better for you. So, you know, maybe it is an admin folder. Maybe you need to chunk it out even further of clients I need to invoice and, you know, follow-ups or, you know, things that are urgent versus not urgent. I think those labels of urgent, not urgent are a little too broad, a little too high level. So get specific, as specific as possible as you can without driving yourself bananas of having, you know, a stack of folders that becomes useless. Find that sweet spot for yourself.
Yeah. And you can still use that system, whether again, it's a subfolder within your inbox or whether it's maybe you want to have a to-do list and you create a to-do list. I used to use, I can't remember what it used to be called, but now I use one called Todoist, todoist.com. And it's, there's an app on my phone and there's obviously this one, the websites on my computer, and it syncs to-do lists. So like I'll use it for grocery shopping or that kind of thing. So if I think of something and I've got it on my phone, I can put it there and it syncs with the desktop. Or if I'm working, I can put it on the desktop and it syncs with my phone. So big fan. So that's also, you know, if you don't want to have a subfolder in your inbox, but whatever it is, you have to make it one repository for all of your tasks. Like if your client likes to Slack with you, for example, use the chatting function Slack, or if they send you, or if they call you or anything like that, you know, if you have a subfolder in your inbox and they send you a Slack and so that it never makes it to your inbox, you've got a problem. You know, if you have a subfolder in your inbox, you have to make a rule that if something comes in via Slack, you're going to send yourself an email and put it
that's
in that subfolder.
I do.
Absolutely. I send myself
that's my
emails
system.
All the time.
All the time. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And so if it's you know, an imperfect system sometimes, but it works for me right now. You know, that's not always been my system of choice, but I find because whether it's my phone, whether I'm on the desktop, have Slack, wherever it is, sending an email to me is the easiest thing versus I do have Post-it notes and don't use them. I'm using them because I bought them probably 20 years ago. Not really young when I bought some Post-it notes. I love Post-it
like
notes.
Post-it notes.
But either way, try to get rid of my Post-it notes. Don't recommend them though. Sorry, Post-it notes. We're clearly not going to get sponsored by them.
No, I have to say Post-it notes was one of the worst home office purchases I've ever made, which sounds so crazy and it sounds absurd, but I have a bunch of them on my desk. And what I end up doing is I have a note and then I take it up and then you pull it off the Post-it note and you stick it somewhere. And then what you end up with is all of these notes all across your desk and there's no organization. There's no, it's chaos.
It's a mess.
Yeah. I'm sorry, 3M. I'm sorry, Post-it notes. I'm sure they have
we love you for other things.
A wonderful purpose for other things.
Every time we move, I use them for the moving boxes and label what it is and then put another piece of tape. Anyway,
that's great. To use them, you know, don't forget your lunch. Put that up by the door. Yep. I'll do that. But yes, when it comes to actual, like, these are things that I need to, an idea I had for the business, or it's another good subfolder in your inbox or on your to-do list or whatever. Don't, and that's part of the problem with Post-it notes too, is they're all equal, you know? Yes. So it's not like, and even if you're like, well, the greens are going to be this and that. Don't even try it.
Similarly with notebooks, same, look at this chaos. I love a notebook. I love, and I know many of us love a good notebook. If you're going to do it, which I do, Friday mornings is my day to go through all my pages and say, okay, what have I done? And I can cross out of my book and cancel and say, this note doesn't matter anymore. Or what do I need to email myself? And what folder does it need to go into? Or what can I immediately do and work through this list? But if you're having all, again, a notebook or it's notebooks, just like a client saying something on a call or a Slack message coming through, it needs to all then be in one place, whatever that place is for you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, and that makes me think too about, this is also the getting stuff done. On Earth is, again, put in the show notes, very good book. A little dense, but very good book. One of the things he talks about is doing a brain dump. And that can be very helpful too, because even if you're putting everything in the right places, you're still probably hanging on to some ideas or like, oh, I have to call this client or oh. And a really great way to end your workday is to sit down and write out all of the things that you have been thinking, your ideas, any of your to-dos. Even if you already got it written down somewhere, fine, just get it out of your brain. Or in this can include everything that you have to do. Every, if it's like, I had to clean out the garage, put it on the list, get it out of your brain. It's a really, really great way to end the workday. First of all, let your brain know like, okay, we're going back into to regular life or to family life or whatever, making that transition. We were talking about morning transitions a couple of podcast episodes ago. This can be a great way to do an evening transition. And then two, you're not going to have stuff waking you up in the middle of the night because you've got it written down and you're right on your brain.
Send so many emails at 2 a.m.
Okay, brain dumps, Kate.
That's sent one to Nikki once by mistake. So make sure you check the email you're sending it to. She got a half-formed note and said, I think you meant to send this to yourself. So
what are you doing? But it can be a really great way to get that stuff out of your brain. But of course, too, once you have done that brain dump, move it to the appropriate places. Move it to the idea stuff to your idea folder or list or whatever. Move the to-dos to your to-do. Move the, you know, household stuff to your household stuff. And then move into your evening, you know, have dinner with the family, watch some Netflix.
And if you have time-based things, so for example, I need to send this to this client. So not the to-do list, because writing the copy, I feel like, is a little bit different. You don't want to put that on your calendar for the deadline, because you don't want to get to the deadline and go, crap, I didn't write it. But if you need to send the email to the client, you know, hey, I want to sleep on it and I'll send it to them first thing in the morning, put it on your calendar. So anything that has a specific time, I need to get this by tomorrow, end of day. So, you know, 5 p.m., send this and put that on your calendar. So you have those calendar reminders, and so that it's on that schedule and you don't, you know, you can account for that time. So when a client asks, hey, are you available for this project? What kinds of little or big things are already on your schedule that you can visually see? Ooh, tomorrow I can't even start anything because it's fully booked, but here's a day that maybe I can look at. Mm-hmm. And that way you're not, you know, you're accounting for all the little things that eat up your time and not then overbooking yourself in the long run, because it's so easy to 8 hours in a day is so much. And then as you actually dig into everything, realize, oh no, I've booked myself for 10 hours and that's not sustainable.
Yeah. And be realistic about how long things are going to take you. Sometimes it's like, well, I'm just putting together an invoice. That's going to take 5 minutes. No, it's not going to take 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. You have to go find the information. You have to open up the document. You have to switch out your maybe you have a previous one you're updating, or you're updating the template. You're going to have to look up what you did for them, look up the quote. You may think it's going to take 5 minutes. It's going to take 10 minutes. I feel like this is the exact opposite of what so many other people say to do, like, oh, schedule it for less time than you think it will take, because then you'll get it done faster. And I do understand that philosophy. However, when it comes specifically to admin tasks, when you're like, I'm going to do these five things and they're each going to take me six things and they're each going to take me 5 minutes. Instead of spending a half hour, you've given yourself a half hour. And it's also, then there's the time switching between tasks. It's going to take, instead of the habit taking a half hour, it's going to take you an hour. And then you are at least a half hour behind the rest of your schedule. So just be realistic about how long these tasks are actually going to take you. Otherwise, then you're going to find that your admin tasks are eating into your copywriting time. And then you've got a big problem.
Yeah, I think that what you just mentioned, it works for like brainstorming and concepting, where I don't want to spend 15 hours concepting necessarily, depending on the project. But for an admin, it takes what it takes versus writing. Or you can kind of see what you can do.
Yeah, exactly. Or giving yourself time to come up with the first draft. That could be a good idea.
Like, exactly.
I'm just going to get something down.
Exactly.
On paper. I'm going to look at the creative brief, look through, and then I'm going to get my first draft done.
I wrote my outline,
and so now I'm going to get my first draft done. That makes a lot of sense. But yeah, I agree with admin tasks. It takes the time that it takes.
Yeah. And if just anecdotally, I had a project a couple of weeks ago that I delivered to the client. I'd worked with the company before, not with this particular client. And I got a note back the next day. You know, copy was one thing. They weren't worried about, it was a content piece actually, weren't worried about that. But what the note was focused on was, thank you so much for paying attention to all the instructions. You listened to instructions. And it reminded me of, and I posted this in the CCA student group recently. It reminds me of, I don't know if you had it, Nikki. I think it was a common April Fool's joke for teachers where they would, you know, put in the instructions like pop quiz about, and it would be a topic none of us had studied or learned about. And if you read through it, and it would say, read through all instruction first. And somewhere in there, it would say, hey, just put your name on the top of the sheet. You don't actually have to do the quiz.
Mm-hmm.
And
so
that's exactly this.
Yeah. It was, or the ones I remember would be like, okay, follow all of these instructions, but the very first instruction is read all the way to the end.
Yes, read to the end.
And then it would be like, okay, now draw a picture of a zebra. Okay, fine. And you'd have all these kids and they're scribbling to draw the pictures of the zebra. But yeah, when you get all the way to the bottom, it says the only thing you need to do is to put your, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And we always joke as copywriters, like, oh, our job is to get people to read copy because their attention spans are so short. And if you're being honest with yourself, I've done too. Why didn't they just read what I wrote? And if they read what I wrote, they would know what was going on. You do the same. And I say you because we all do it. We all do the same thing and don't actually read everything we need to. But when we're doing our work, you're reading client email, you're doing a project, whatever it is, slow down and read everything first. And read it a second time if you have to. But we get caught in that same trap and do the things that we hate being done to us, to our clients.
Yeah. Well, and that's a great point. Like, yeah, we're human. We're never going to be complete, but be your best self with your clients.
Yeah.
Be your best self with the people who are paying you to do the work. Be your best self with the people who are relying on you to get stuff done and get it done effectively. Be your best self with the people who are hiring you for this project and then potentially for the next project. And also, in addition to being your best
self, repeat work.
Exactly. We want to read more projects for them. Be your best self, but also recognize that it's your obligation to be your best self. It's not necessarily your client's obligation to be their best self, to hit deadlines, to, you know, sometimes we'll hear copywriters complaining about like, oh, my client is taking so long to get this to me, or oh, my, like, yeah, okay, that sucks. You want to get the feedback. Exactly. You want to get the feedback when you do, but or when they said you would get it. But let's not forget the dynamic here, right? It's your client is the one who hired you. And yes, you're not going to let them railroad you or that kind of thing, but like be flexible, be the kind of partner that you would want to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And as we say, they have so much going on, even if they're a solopreneur, especially if they're a solopreneur, quite frankly, but there's so much going on that it can feel disrespectful. I think they're not respecting my time. No, they're just wildly, wildly busy.
Yeah.
So account for that. Give grace, give flexibility, give, you know, if you need to send them a reminder, if it's going to bump a timeline, just gently remind mm-hmm. them that. And chances are they'll be fine. You know, oh yeah, I'm so sorry. I didn't get you the feedback when we said we would. Can you still, and if you can still hit the deadline, why not? That goes such a long way. If you can say, hey, you know what, like I might have to bump this, but I'm going to do my best to stick to the schedule that we originally agreed on. You know, give yourself that flexibility if you think you'll actually need it, but also don't get hung up waiting for your client necessarily for mm-hmm. things, especially if a project hasn't kicked off yet. You know, we always say first come, first serve.
Yeah.
So if someone else comes, you know, through and they're ready to sign a, you know, agreement and say, yep, we're good with your budget, go get started. Then if someone else comes back, you say, hey, sorry, I actually had something, you know, another client that agreed to something first. I'm happy to still fit yours in. How does this timeline work? Mm-hmm. But as much as possible, give your clients some
a little bit of flexibility, a little bit of grace, like just be your best self. Well, and then too, there's that element of like, well, complaining about my clients, that makes it all about you. Mm-hmm. And we talk a lot about how when you're a service provider, it's not about you. Yes, it is about you to the sense that you are providing this very valuable service and you're being a very valuable partner for them. But the second you turn it into, my client isn't doing this, and why isn't my client? My client told me they would have it back to me by 5 o'clock and I haven't heard anything now, and it's been 2 days after that deadline. Like, first of all, if you have the time to worry about that, you might have bigger problems, or the time to complain about that, you might have bigger problems. Take that energy and sure, put it into pitching.
Yep.
Take that energy, put it into servicing other clients. You are wasting your time to complain about clients. Either spend that time, get in touch with the client and say, hey, just wanted to remind you, I know that we talked about getting that feedback back by this time. Just wanted to remind you that, you know, we're still good on schedule, but I just want to remind you that I have to have it back by this date in order to hit our timeline, like you were saying, Kate. Or just send them a, hey, I just wanted to remind you about this. But if be effective with your time too, right? Like if it's not going to benefit you in any way.
Or if it's not going to impact your schedule, actually. If them being late
exactly
doesn't matter, then so be it.
Then let it go. And if it's not going to benefit you to complain about your clients, which it's not. Then don't do it. Make yourself a note to get back in touch with them and move on to your next client. If you are spending, if you're wasting time worrying about your clients, complaining about clients, either do something about it or let it go. Your clients are not here for you. You are here for your clients. So be that best partner that you can be that best self, stay organized, answer the questions, but then also at the same time, understand that you are also dealing with human beings and their business. I don't care what business they're in or what size it is unfathomable how busy they are and all of the pieces that go into running a business. So offer them a little bit of grace, understanding. And again, if you have time to be complaining about your clients, find something better to do with your time.
Yeah. And your clients, you know, if they mention something on a call, it's because they want you to take a note of it. They're expecting you to take a note of it. If they mention something in an email, they're expecting to hear back, you know, within a reasonable time period. If they Slack you something, it can be frustrating to you maybe to get things from all of these different channels from, frankly, the same client sending you things multiple different ways. But that's part of your job, is to help manage all of that and say, okay, I got all of these different elements from all these different channels from them. Here it is organized. What are my priorities? What do I need to do first? And if for whatever reason, there's a question about if priorities conflict or, you know, you're not sure what, you know, because you can only write one piece of copy at a time. I had a client once who sent over like 5 requests and I said, okay, I physically can't do them all at once. So what's the priority list? Here's what I think based on our conversations, but can you confirm for me what, you know, and I'll try to hit it all by whatever deadline you want, but inevitably you're going to get something first, something second, something third.
Yeah. And, you know, obviously it's within your rights to, if your client is sending you stuff via Slack, sending you stuff via email, sending you stuff, and maybe sending like 8 different pieces of feedback, totally within your rights to say, hey, you know, the most effective way to make sure this goes quickly and goes efficiently is if you can take, if you can put all of this together in one document, or we can do it on a call if that's easier.
Hop on a call.
Yeah. If we're on a call, I can also take notes and then send it back to you to make sure that we covered everything that we need to cover and that we have all of your feedback in there. That is perfectly within your rights to just make sure that you're getting everything you need to get. But at the same time, you know, like if your client wants to Slack you feedback and you'd prefer emails, kind of tough luck there, friend. Because if they're sending you a thorough piece of feedback or thorough, you know, giving you the information you need or asking you efficient questions, that would be another thing that's kind of, what does your client prefer? They're paying you. So it's on you to take these, these different pieces of information coming into their different places and coming in from different places and to get them organized and respond efficiently and effectively.
And that goes for software too. You know, if they're like, hey, we're meeting via Google Meet, hop on. If you don't have a Gmail, get a Gmail account. They're free. You know, if they're like, hey, we're doing Zoom and you haven't signed up for Zoom yet, which everyone's on Zoom, right, at this point. But if they prefer Skype, get on Skype. Like all of these things are free. So kind of roll with what their systems are, unless they ask you and say, you know, let you kind of run the show. That could be the dynamic, but a lot of companies are going to have processes in place and systems that they use and are used to. So roll with it as much as possible. Mm-hmm. You know, I mentioned the 8 emails I had earlier, and yes, was it wildly frustrating, especially when firewall, you know, I had to VPN to one, and I once had 2 that were on the same VPN and could only be logged into one at a time. Yes, frustrating, but you roll with it. They're worse. And then you build it into your time too. If it takes me 5 extra minutes to go find the specific email to log in to reply, mm-hmm. it's part of my time. I'm getting paid for it. I'm getting paid to do it. So
yeah, Absolutely. Absolutely. And all this stuff, I know it sounds like, oh, I have to take all these extra steps. First of all, when you start doing them consistently, it's not going to be that many extra steps at all. Exactly.
Slowing down.
And it's all that it will do is it will make you to loop all the way back to the beginning. What do comedians call it? Circling back, something like that. All of this will just make you more productive. You will get more done. You will get more done efficiently and effectively, and you will be more professional. You will exude more professionalism because your clients won't have to follow up with you for a million points. Your clients won't have to worry that if they ask you for something that you're going to miss it, or they won't have to worry like, oh God, did we send that to them? Or how did we send that to them? I wonder if they get, you know, we sent an email and we sent a Slack. I wonder if we're going to get that all together. When you're the person who's like, oh yeah, well, I got that via Slack, got this via email, and I incorporated all of that. And here it is, on deadline. It's so wonderful for a client to work with that. And that makes it easier, not easier. It makes them want to work with you more. It makes it so much easier for them to hire you for another project. And it also makes them so much more confident referring you to their colleagues. If you're the kind of person who they're not sure if you're going to get back to them on things, or you forget points, or they ask you three questions, you only answer two, they're not going to refer you to colleagues. I don't care how good your copy is. You could be a genius. Matter how good you're up. Yeah. Exactly. But if you are dropping balls here and there, dropping balls left and right, maybe that's a better way to say it. Sounded a little bit strange. If you're not getting done everything that you need to get done, they're not going to refer you because that's going to come back on them.
Yeah. It's just as important, if not as much as the copy. It's frankly equal, if not sometimes slightly more. I'd rather have someone that's on the ball and I can trust will get it done, and maybe have a little more feedback for them than someone who I'm like constantly, are they actually going to hit the deadline? Or are they going to do it? Maybe miss deadlines, miss little things, have to follow up and, you know, remind them of things. And yeah, maybe the copy's slightly better, but that annoyance, I'm going to go with the person who maybe needs a little more feedback, but hits all of the things that they need to hit.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause when you're not effective like that, when they're not sure they can rely on you, that means you didn't actually take the copy project off of their plate. And we talk about this a lot in our business, just in our business about, okay, something is on my plate. I'm now putting it on your plate. Let me know when it's done. I'm putting it on your plate. That means I'm not going to think about it. Come back to me if you have questions. I'm going to move on to something else. Come back to you if you have questions, or come back to me to let me know when it's done. And this is, you know, throughout our organization, and Kate will do the same thing to me. I will do the same thing to Kate and all of our organization members. But if the client can't rely that they're putting the copy project on your plate, it's such an incredible annoyance that they will not work with you again. Mm-hmm. There you go. So first of all, slow down. We gave you a lot of tips. So actually, if I were you, I would go back and re-listen and take some notes here. Make a list.
And then schedule what you need to do to make sure your systems are tip top.
Yes.
And then maybe switch to decaf like I did to slow down.
Large iced coffee, almost done.
Fully caffeinated.
Yes. I love you, dumps. Anyway, when you take these steps and when you implement them regularly, it's going to make your client so much happier. And quite honestly, too, it's going to make your life so much easier. You're going to have fewer things hanging over your head. You're not going to have to worry that you're forgetting stuff or you're letting your clients down. They're really, when you go back through, we listed a lot of stuff, but they're pretty simple systems. So when you implement them, I'm not saying if, I'm saying when, because I trust that you guys will do this. It is going to make your life so much better, your work so much more productive, and you just a better professional as a whole. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's what we have for you today. Again, this might be one where you want to go back and take notes, but we will catch you again in the next episode. Bye, everybody.
Thanks so much for joining us on the Build Your Copywriting Business podcast. If you liked what you heard, I'd really appreciate it if you could take a minute or two to leave us a 5-star review. I read each one and they mean the world to me and our team. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast, and if you want to keep learning, follow us at Filthy Rich Writer across social media and on the site. And of course, if your interest is piqued and you think copywriting might be right for you, check out our free on-demand video training at www.freecopywritingtraining.com. Talk to you next time.